Okay, so we're ready to go. Our next talk is about your health. As hackers, we live our lives mostly in front of the computer, and that causes all sorts of problems for our body. And here with us is Sophie Hildner. She's a physical therapist by training, and as such has treated many hackers for back pain and all kinds of other problems. And she's going to tell us how we can listen more closely to our bodies. Please welcome on stage Sophie Hildner with Coding Your Body.
Thank you very much. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here with such a non-computer related talk. But there is some things you can do to your body, which you are currently doing right now, which I will try to reveal through my talk by, first of all, explaining you some things about the hardware you have in your body, like all the different tissues and how they can be programmed, how they are influenced by the daily things we're doing, by biology and awareness, by the software, aka your brain, central processing unit, also known, like major influence on how your body feels at the end of every day and at the end of the life especially. Posture, I just mentioned something very important, how you're sitting and how often you're sitting. And I'm going to give you some examples from my long practice of treating patients mostly sitting all day long. Not all related to computers, but they show similar problems. And I want to mention that this talk is just giving you a hint into the direction of what you can improve in your life. And if you have the same symptoms, it doesn't mean you have the same disease in the background. So every person is an individual, and you have to focus on your individuality and see a specialist if you have questions about your body in particular. So I'm just giving you hints and what could be a problem. I'm not telling you this is always how it goes, because we are individuals and every example is a different individual. And at the end, we come to the actual coding process, the prevention of how and what you can do before shit had hit the fan. Sorry, my words, but in some cases, you probably, it can turn out pretty bad, and that for the rest of your life, which most of you are pretty young, so you need to take care of your body. That's the one thing that sticks to you all your life. So, the hardware. We come to bones, connective tissues, muscles, tendons, and the central processing unit, which is, as itself, of course, a bit of your hardware. Bones are made of two major components. You have the outer compact bone, which is a really strong tissue, and you have also the cartilage on top of the bones, which are for the joints to be able to move. If you take away the compact bone as well as the cartilage, the actual inside of your bone is really, really soft. That's where the bone marrow is set and where the trabecula, I'm going to go to that in a bit, are designing the actual structure of your bones. And you can press into it with a finger. I've been into an operating room a couple of times, and I've seen how soft the inside of your bones actually is, which also means bones are a flexible material, meaning you can change how your bones are, at least slightly, because they're adapting to how you use them. When you break a bone, it takes 6 to 12 weeks to be fully reconstructed, meaning that when you start changing your behavior, your posture, you can't expect after a week or two to feel immediately better if the main problem is inside your bones. So it does take a couple of weeks because they are a passive structure. They are influenced by pressure and tension from muscles and gravity. So the trabecula I've mentioned earlier, you see here an x-ray of the hip bone, the femur bone of the leg, and you see all these fine lines. They're trajectory lines of how this person in particular used this bone, because they do change the fine architecture and structure. They do change over time if you start using them differently, meaning also when you start doing sports, your bones get more dense. When you sit all the time, the bone actually, which is constantly constructed and destructed. I think we need to open this door. Some people want to. Okay, thanks. But there are constantly cells, just basic bottom line. Constantly cells are constructing and reconstructing the bone tissue inside. And these parts I'm talking about, they can change. And these trajectory lines are the power structures of your bone. Coming to the bone of the backs, because that's the structure in your body which is mostly stressed when you're sitting. And you have different designs inside the spinal column for different tasks. So these upper parts of the cervical spine have a lot of room inside here, where the spinal cord, the connection nerve tissue from brain to body, is going through. The parts at the thoracical spinal cord have more corpus. They are more designed as lumbar parts to carry weight, because that's where most of the weight goes to. But this area for the spinal cord is getting narrower, which means if something happens there, you have little room, for example, an intervertebral disc to escape to, which means they will cause serious trouble. And all these different parts have different flexibilities. The neck, you can rotate, you can bend forward and sideways, and you can flex and stretch it. The same thing you can do with the thoracical part. With the lumbar, you have these more developed sideways which block most of the rotation process. So rotating is mostly in the upper part, and only when you flex to the front and then turn, you can actually have a rotation in the lumbar part. Just for, now I lost it. Okay, no, moving fast. Exactly, but most common problems are here in the neck because there's a stress pretty high, as well as the lumbar region. The connective tissue. Your intervertebral discs, these, as well as all the ligaments and tendons in your body, are made of different kinds of connective tissue. Connective tissue has a turnover rate, which means the way, if it gets hurt, until it's back on track again, it takes 300 to 500 days. So if you are having an intervertebral disc that isn't working, or that has been overstressed, and you had maybe a slipped disc or a herniated disc, or you broke a tendon, it does take some serious time and rehabilitation to get back to where it was before the accident or incident. So that's something you really want to preserve. And sorry to say, but this is the structure that gets stressed the most when we don't use our active structures, because these are passive structures as well. Basics of the intervertebral disc is you have an outer ring, which is made out of really strong fibers, and an inner core, which is really soft and rather gelatinous. And when you drink a lot, these are really fine and happy, because then they can take up some of the water. And I'm talking about water, sugary drinks, as well as milk, are not as good for making the intervertebral discs swell up, basically, to give you more cushion and buffer to all your movement. Like I said before, this is the spinal cord inside the spinal canal, and there's not much room because the nerves are lying right inside this bone canal. We're coming to your active structures. This is the actual coding, the only one and only structure you can actively code, and they are divided in several divisions. You have long muscles on the outside of your body, like these ones, like all the muscles on your arm and on your legs. Most of them, the most muscles you can actually see yourself on your body or on someone else's body, are for movement. So they're there to move around and have a good leverage for the joints so you can lift things and do stuff. And they're the short muscles. And most of us have lost the ability to move those. Not lost the ability, but we have lost the awareness that they're there. And we haven't used them for a very long time. There have been some interesting studies that most of these really fine muscles, this is the spinal column, and all these fine muscles are going cross-wiring over different levels, the spinal column together. And there have been some interesting studies that these muscles, which are most important to stabilizing your spinal column and therefore saving your intervertebral discs for any incidents, that they are rather fatty because we have not used them. And whatever the body doesn't use, it just starts to collect different tissue. And even skinny people, they all have lost, most of them, most of us have actually lost to really use these muscles, because when we're sitting, we don't need them. And all the weight is set on the passive structures, on the bones, on the connective tissue. So we are in kind of a trouble being sitting all along. And if I would have more time, I would just make you stand up now and move a little around. But that has to wait till the actual exercise workshop we have in about an hour or two. No, it exactly 1 hour, hall 14. There's a little exercise, and I'm going to show you like what kind of things you can actually do. So the muscles. The muscles are organized in slings. So you have, I just marked the ones that are extending. And you can imagine to all these little arrows I made, another arrow in going in the exact opposite direction, because whenever you flex one part of your body, you flex one muscle, another one has to stretch. So they are all going together in pairs. One has to release while the other one is flexing. So they are called agonists and antagonists, and they're always working together in a spinal reflex. So whenever you take something up and you use this muscle, via your spinal reflex, immediately, this one has to release. So it's kind of David versus Goliath. The one that gets short usually wins. What happens if you use a certain kind of muscle all of the time? They get shorter, because the body is all about efficiency. It wants to make you as comfortable as you are in the things you like doing most. So when you're sitting like this all day long, the body thinks, great. These just have to work a little more, and these just, I forget about these, meaning the ones in the back. Just doesn't work quite that way, because the ones in the back are working as well. They're working constantly against gravity and against the muscles, which are getting shorter and shorter and shorter, because muscles do memorize how you use them. So the friend who actually asked me to hand in a talk here told me, well, I see all these hackers on conventions, and they like give each other massages, and they're like pressing where it hurts most. And I don't know if that's right. Well, I tell you, if it hurts, pain is always a warning signal. So if you're not in professional hands, well, I would be careful to just have anyone walk over my back and be like, oh yeah, that feels great. Oh, please be advised that yes, there are little nods in the muscles, and if you feel them, it is there for a reason, and the reason is your body is overusing this part. This muscle has been overused, and it has been used so much that most of the blood is constantly being squeezed out of that muscle. So all the little kind of, how do you say, like end products of the metabolism of the singular muscle cell, they can't get transported away. And when you cut open a muscle, which have not, you can see physiologically there has been a change. So it's called myagelosis. And when you now, this already like suffocating muscle, you press even more on. Oh man, like suffocating someone who's suffocating already. It does have advantages, and yes, there is an afterwards more blood flowing through there, but I would rather like give soft massages. Perfect. Touch is a great relief to almost like to a lot of things. Like just touching each other, hugging each other, and slightly pressing those muscles will always do good. But please don't try to squeeze the pain out of there. It hasn't worked in my experience. If you have different experiences, please let me know. My Twitter is Sophie Hildner, so I'm always open for learning something new. So we're coming to your brain. Your posture, like I said, is very important to how you use it. This is just some examples of how posture can be. And posture is a mixture of your biology, the hardware you have been given by your genetics of the parents, mostly, and you will at one point see your parents like, ooh, wait a minute. Oh, Mom, do I look like you? Like, most likely. Oh, I need to work out. Okay, I gotta go work out. So it's biology plus habits plus your awareness. And I've seen, like, when I started stretching, I've seen one or two, like, oh yeah, wait a minute, I could sit up straighter. So it's already working, me talking about it, raising your awareness, you suddenly get like, now I'm sitting right. It lasts for like 30 seconds, if even. So you need to change more of your awareness to just do that. Because the network in your brain, there's a simple saying, it's called they fire together, they wire together. The more they fire, the more they wire. Meaning, the more you do one thing, like 8 hours a day, your brain remembers as well. And getting rid of this habit, it does take time. So be patient. If you want to change something, it does take time. Okay, just basically, back pain is bad and costs a lot of money, especially in Germany. It's one of the most common illnesses in Germany. I just have to rush through so I can come to the interesting examples. And it's responsible for the most sick days due to back pain, most sick days are due to back pain. And a serious incident, rarely, happened without announcement. So if you feel a little bite here, a little itch there, and just, oh, it's so uncomfortable, oh my, they usually last 2 to 5 days, and then they go away. 5 years later, they last 5 to 10 days, and they go away. 2 years later, maybe you have an herniated disc. Oops, I never had back pain. There was this, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Pain is a warning sign, and the one and only red, blinking, flickering light, which is constantly reminding you there's something wrong. So if you are in pain, ask someone who knows more about the body than Wikipedia. So whenever a patient came to me, yes, I'm provoking pain. It's my way to find the correct diagnosis. So I make you move in the way it hurts. Otherwise, I cannot identify the structure which is hurting. It can be your muscles, it can be the bones, it can be the discs. I need to provoke to see what it is. I'm gonna do some stretching and detoning of the shortened muscles. I'm gonna raise your awareness to optimize your posture. I'm gonna activate those stabilizing muscles, the short ones we talked about. All the examples are former patients of mine, and they're desktop workers, and they're all sitting a long time, and these are all individuals. So I'll give you two quick examples. I think I run out of time. So Stefan came to me with an acute herniated disc, and he said, especially in the morning, it's really painful, and during the day it gets better. All I could do, when the disc is already herniated, meaning the outer fiber ring broke, the soft core leaks out and the spinal cord is pressed. Nerves don't like cuddling. They want their own space. If you squeeze them, they react with numbness, pain, and maybe losing the function of that body part, that muscle. Like if you feel numbness or you can't move your leg as the way you did before, serious trouble ahead. So please watch your discs, activate your muscles, stabilize, and so on. Because all I can do there is relaxation, heat treatment, and small movements in the pain-free range, which isn't a lot in that moment. This is just for your interest in X-ray. Here, the disc is herniated, squeezes the nerves, and you just can't push it back in. And I would always get a second opinion, or maybe even a third, if someone wants to cut your back open. Please do so. I have treated so many patients which have been operated in the spinal cord and in the spinal column. No fun. No fun at all, seriously. If you feel, I'm rushing through two more minutes, if you feel tingling in your fingers, it's coming from your neck spine. You can always, there's not only slip discs, but also the bones can start building extra tissue and start narrowing down on the nerves. It's called a spinal canal stenosis, and it can lead to numbness, tingling sensation, or losing function of the muscles. And what might be interesting for some of you is the mouse arm syndrome. It's Gertrude. She came with to me with shoulder pain for over 1 year, and she had the muscles and tendons in front of the shoulder really short, like she could barely move till here, and then the pain started and she could move slightly higher, and it was incredible. And I had to work with force. I had to make all the connective tissue, I had to force it back into the way that she could lift her arm like she used to, because she has been working miniature movements all the time with a mouse. It just, at one point, I can't do anything but cause more pain, so you can get the function back. It's terrible. You don't want to get there. So whatever you do, like stretch sometimes in between to make your body, okay. Bottom line, it's your choice. That's the good news. You will feel a difference. And 1 minute of prevention equals 1 hour of rehabilitation. So whatever you do now is saving a lot of time down the road. But you need a good teacher. You need a physical therapist or a doctor who takes you serious, who is investigating your individual problem specifically. And you need patience. It does take time. And if you want to learn how to use those little tiny muscles that can save your back, you will feel it very hard. And if it's easy, you're most likely doing it wrong. And the ultimate key is repetition, repetition, repetition. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we have some time for questions. If you'd like to leave, please do to the front door. The front door is open now. I just checked.
Oh yeah, please don't kill the messenger.
Please do so. Sorry. Quietly, really, really quiet. Okay. Do we have a question from the Signal Angel?
Well, not from the internet, but I would have a question myself.
Okay.
And that is, how much impact does a good chair make compared to just a cheap office chair?
Your question is how an expensive chair in comparison to a cheap chair can help you do, can improve your problem, or?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. There I go with the founder of IKEA. He says Ivar, like the very basic chair, is his most favorite because it's so uncomfortable, it makes him stand up every 30 minutes.
There's a question at microphone number one, please.
Hi. I heard in the news that some problems with the pain can be related with infections, and in some cases antibiotics works. Do you think that's common, or it's something that is?
In my career, it's more inflammation than infection. Mm. And inflammation is also a cause of overusing a certain part of your body, which reacts with stress. So it is a possibility, and keep it in mind. Maybe that's a valuable hint for one or two in the audience that will go to see a doctor and he doesn't know what it is, how it is. So
because it seems very difficult to have infection.
No, it's not that difficult.
It's not that difficult.
No. It's possible, it's not difficult, but it's not that often. It's not that common, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
So the gentleman at microphone number two, please.
If you start to get information about this topic, you ultimately stumble upon different schools of functional movement systems, which try to layer movements in a meaningful way and take you through easy movements to more complex movement in a way that that is good for your body. And they also say repetition, repetition, repetition. And my question is, from all those movement systems that are on the internet, are there some you can recommend that are good and easy to understand?
Well, the problem is, if you want to learn a new language, like those little muscles in your back, you can try to get the basic vocabulary from someone or just from a source on the internet, but movement is a very specific, and feeling it and then getting the idea, oh, this is how I do it. I always knew when the patients knew they got it because this is exactly what they did. Like, oh, like once it drops, then you can do it on your own, but you need someone to, it's difficult. Yeah. I can't advise you on that, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
So, go ahead.
Yes, this ties into the first question about the chairs. If you have a chair that you know you're going to sit in for 8 or 10 hours a day, and it has these 4,000 settings for various things, do you have any suggestions for how you should set it up, or usual mistakes that people make and sit wrong?
It depends on your individuality, on how tall you are, how tall your desk is. Like, you have to feel comfortable, but one of the key things is put up little reminders that you stand up. Like, have a pot of coffee sitting over there and just a tiny cup on your desk, and then you have to get up every, I don't know how much coffee or tea or water you drink. But that is something, it's just staying the same way, your body will get so used to it, it will give it to you all the time. Even when you sleep, you're gonna start doing this, although you used to sleep on your back. So, I can recommend, because everybody is so individual. Some people like having the monitor really down so you don't have to stress your neck. Some people like it on eyesight, and it's good for both of them. So, but I can try to give you like a 2-minute advice personally in the workshop.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. One of my problems in the past have been incompetent or apathetic doctors. And so my question is, how do I recognize quickly if a specialist that I've gone to, like, you know, like if we talk to normal people, they don't understand computers and we can bamboozle them all day long. So how do I not get bamboozled by bad therapists?
Make your point stand out. Like, tell him, like, explain it to me. Details. Like, you have those people that just won't get bamboozled away. They will be like, okay, I'm in your face now. Let me know. What's the problem? What do you think is the problem? Many doctors, I don't know if you're doctors from Germany or somewhere else, but many doctors are used to, like, having 5 minutes, if even, with a patient to just look at them, tell them something, and I am, as a physical therapist, receiving something like shoulder syndrome. Okay, there's a shoulder, there's syndrome. What is a shoulder syndrome? I'm sorry to say, it's hard. It's connect yourself with people and ask ask, like, who knows a good doctor of orthopedics? Who knows a good physical therapist? Just hand them on, because those cards are, like, valuable. Because good therapists, good doctors are rare. And they, yeah, sorry.
Do any kind of, like, websites that track this exist, maybe? You know, like, there's, YouTube has ratings for every video. So are there ratings for doctors? At least in Germany, for example?
I think there are some, but I never use them. I have my, like, box of cards, and I'm collecting still. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, what's your opinion about, well, when you're in acute pain, back pain, and some doctors recommend giving shots. So I know that's a big discussion about whether to do it or not, and I was just interested what your opinion about it is.
It depends on the case. In some cases I say, yes, the pain is too big, I can't do anything. In other cases I'd say, well, try to keep the shots away for 2 days, because they're also using a lot of cortisone to bring the inflammation down. And cortisone does something to your tendons. It weakens them. It makes them more easy to break, which is a huge problem for me, because if you then have, for example, actually the pain in your back results from the shortness of the muscles in your shoulder, and I have to go with force on your shoulder, I can't do that because you'd had cortisone. So I would always say, pain, against the pain, yes. And against, like, cortisone for the inflammation, really careful. Really, really careful. Cortisone is a strong medication and has serious side effects.
Thanks. I'm so sorry. We're over time. We have to stop now and let the next speaker in. Thank you very much.